gold and them are asteroids? Hawker Beechcraft sends out 350 pink slips, and SpaceX puts its launch countdown on hold. This is Aero News for Wednesday, April 25th, 2012. I'm Glenn Moyer. More than 160 years since the first cry of "There's gold in them thar hills" sent the 49ers racing to California, comes a new cry that could send man racing to the stars. If all goes according to plan, a newly formed company will someday in the future initiate prospecting missions targeting resource-rich asteroids that are easily accessible. Planetary Resources, which is backed by Google's top executive as well as Avatar director James Cameron, has unveiled its plan to mine near-Earth asteroids, or NEAs, for raw materials, ranging from water to precious metals through the development of cost-effective exploration technologies. Mining asteroids will deliver multiple benefits to humanity and grow to be valued at tens of billions of dollars annually. The effort will tap into the high concentration of precious metals found on asteroids and provide a sustainable supply to the ever-growing population here on Earth. For example, a single 500-meter platinum-rich asteroid contains the equivalent of all the platinum group metals mined in history. Additionally, water-rich NEAs will serve as stepping stones for deep space exploration, providing space-sourced fuel and water to orbiting depots. Of the approximately 9,000 known NEAs, there are more than 1,500 that are energetically as easy to reach as the moon. At a news conference on Tuesday in Seattle, Chris Lewicki, president and chief engineer, said, quote, "Our mission is not only to expand the world's resource base, but we want to increase people's access to and understanding of our planet and our solar system," end quote. Planetary Resources is financed by industry-launching visionaries, including Google CEO Larry Page and Ross Perot Jr., chairman of Hillwood and the Perot Group, who are committed to expanding the world's resource base so that humanity can continue to grow and prosper. Hawker Beechcraft sent out notices to an additional 350 Wichita employees on Monday, saying that it was making changes to previously planned production schedules and, quote, "resizing our workforce," end quote. The Wichita Eagle reports that the layoffs were announced at an early morning meeting on Monday, as well as in a letter signed by Chairman Bill Boischer and CEO Steve Miller. The executives said in the letter that, quote, "This remains a difficult, unprecedented time for our company, our employees, and our industry," end quote. HBC is not tying the layoffs to furloughs announced earlier this year, which the company said in a SEC filing on April 13th were due to a shortage of composite materials for certain airplanes. There have been rumblings about the company preparing in advance for a bankruptcy filing, but so far that development has not materialized. SpaceX said Monday in an email that it has decided to delay its April 30th COTS-2 launch, citing technical difficulties. The email said, quote, "After reviewing our recent progress, it was clear that we needed more time to finish hardware-in-the-loop testing and properly review and follow up on the data. While it is still possible that we could launch on May 3rd, it would be wise to add a few more days of margin in case things take longer than expected. As a result, our launch is likely to be pushed back by 1 week, pending coordination with NASA," end quote. The planned mission calls for SpaceX's Dragon capsule to conduct a series of checkout procedures to test and prove its systems, including rendezvous and berthing with the International Space Station. No new target date has been set for the launch attempt. In the latest news from the bankruptcy merry-go-round in North Texas, American Airlines went to court on Monday to ask a bankruptcy judge to void labor agreements with its three unions. American's relations with its labor unions have been tense, especially in the wake of its proposal, announced after it filed for bankruptcy protection last November, that it wanted to cut its workforce by 16% and cut $2 billion a year in cost, including $1.25 billion from its employees. After the airline's proposals were unveiled, labor groups reacted with anger, saying the cuts were much deeper than anything they had discussed in recent years. Well, despite this latest move, American says it has made progress in talks with one of those unions, representing its mechanics, that might result in fewer job cuts than American initially sought. Of the 13,000 proposed job cuts, 9,000 were from the ranks of the Transport Workers Union, which represents mechanics and ground workers. But according to a report in the New York Times, the airline has reached a tentative accord with the transport workers that could save around 3,000 jobs. The jobs saved would come from fleet service workers and maintenance workers. Union members will get a chance to vote on the new proposal. Last week, in an unusual move that underlined the fractious relationship, Americans unions announced that they would back a merger with U.S. Airways, a smaller carrier that has a contentious labor history of its own. The Department of Defense has signed an agreement with Rolls-Royce for the delivery of 268 AE-1107C engines for the U.S. Marine Corps and Air Force V-22 aircraft. In the first year, Rolls-Royce will deliver 70 engines valued at $151 million. The contract includes four additional option years, with deliveries expected to total 268. The Rolls-Royce turboshaft engines help provide the unique capability for the V-22 Osprey, allowing the tilt-rotor aircraft to take off and land like a helicopter, and then to rotate its engines forward and fly like an airplane. The V-22 aircraft can carry more troops, fly faster, and has a greater range than the helicopters that it will replace. Rolls-Royce is the sole manufacturer of engines for the V-22. Well, you spoke, and Congress listened. Nolens has the blues over the lack of blues and losing the leather jackets. Details on these stories and more when Aero News continues.
Diamond Aircraft's D-Jet is the ultimate private aircraft for the owner-flown market, offering simplicity of operation, safety, and affordability. Imagine starting the turbine with a simple push of a button. Push the single-lever throttle forward. Monitor your flight on the cutting-edge G1000 with integrated autopilot and enjoy the reliability, performance, smoothness, and quiet of turbine power. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3222.
We continue now with Aero News for Wednesday, April 25th. I'm Glenn Moyer. EAA has learned that an amendment to the House National Defense Authorization Act, House Resolution 4310, will no longer be offered to the bill. It would have precluded military aircraft from being loaned to private individuals, associations, or museums where there was any intent of flying the historic vintage warbirds, even at air shows or demonstrations of support for veterans. Last week, we reported that EAA, Warbirds of America, the Commemorative Air Force, the Collings Foundation, and other aviation groups were rallying their members in opposition to the amendment. Well, the effort has proven successful. While EAA members were expressing their views to their elected officials, Representative Sam Graves, a Republican from Missouri and a longtime EAA and Warbirds of America member, reached out to his House colleagues, including the proposal's sponsor, Representative Mike Turner, Republican from Ohio, regarding the devastating effect the amendment could have on U.S. warbird operations. Doug McNair, EAA's Vice President of Government Relations, said, quote, "This is an excellent example of how establishing good relations in Congress and building an effective caucus can address these issues in a unified manner," end quote. After high winds and foul weather canceled this past weekend's performances of the Blue Angels as part of the New Orleans, Louisiana Navy Week, airshow fans found themselves with a case of the blues, and their sickness is not going to get any better anytime soon. The nearby Naval Air Station at Belle Chasse hosts an airshow every other year, and 2013 would normally be the next show in the cycle. Some 135,000 attended the station's show in 2011. Now, however, officials at the station say there will be no air show in 2013, and just when the next one will take place is uncertain. Typically, the Blues perform every other year, alternating with the U.S. Air Force Thunderbirds, and this year's Navy Week show would have marked a rare back-to-back performance, and the first time the Blues would have performed over Lake Pontchartrain. Now there's no set date for a return of the Blues to Nolens. Meanwhile, at the other end of the Pelican State, Shreveport-Bossier's Barksdale Air Force Base hosted its Defenders of Freedom air show this past weekend. While the Thunderbirds were the highlight and did perform, a number of acts did cancel because of the same blustery winds that forced the Nolens air show to stand down. As much as a polished set of wings proudly worn on the chest, the flight suit and leather jacket are treasured icons of the accomplished airman, but no more, at least at Patterson Air Force Base. On April 10th, the policy letter released from General William L. Shelton, commander of Air Force Space Command, directed personnel assigned to AFSPC to stop wearing flight suits, the green flight jacket, and the A2 leather jackets no later than the end of the fiscal year on May 1st. In the letter, Shelton said, quote, "We want to create synergy among all personnel across the command. Would personnel wear the same uniform, it has a unifying effect toward mission accomplishment. Standardization among the entire command prevents the perception of haves and have-nots. The very meaning of the word uniform should drive us toward standardization, end quote. A few grumbles have been heard around the base, but Chief Master Sergeant Thomas Trottier, the 21st Space Wing Command Chief, said the change is a positive one. He said, quote, "At the end of the day, we are all airmen. It doesn't matter what we're wearing, we're all the same," end quote. Well, good news, Willie Fudd has been granted a reprieve from the scrap heap, at least for another week. Willie Fudd is the Grumman WF-2 Tracer, the world's first purpose-designed carrier-based airborne early warning aircraft that we told you about yesterday. The plane's owner says he is forced to sell or scrap the unique aircraft, so he placed it on eBay. The first auction ended Monday night with a high bid of just over $1,000, far short of the buy-it-now price of $20,500. The airplane is in Tucson. The airframe is not airworthy, but could be an excellent candidate, they say, for a museum's static display. It's said to be largely complete, except for the engines and props. They're being sold in a separate auction. Well, Willie Fudd is back up on the auction block, but the opening bid was a mere $200. The clock is ticking with just over 5 days remaining. Memo to the boss. ANN has been thinking about a new company plane. I may have just found us a real deal. That's all for this edition of Aero News. Thanks for listening, and thanks to those of you who responded to my request for your listener input. It's always good to hear from you. I'm Glenn Moyer. You're now cleared for departure.